world of deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's March the 2nd, year of our Lord, 2026. Well, March comes in like a lion, and we got a leader who is lying left and right. Treachery, foreign and domestic, lawlessness, mass murder, coming from the emergency branch of government. This man is a one-man fourth turning, kicking off global depression and world war, folks. Who knew? Well, I think we could tell from 2020 what he was made of, what his agenda was, and now he's got the power to do it, and he's doing it. We're going to take a look at Trump's criminal, illegal, immoral, mass murder. We'll be right back. Well, I put up a Substack comment about this because I didn't see anybody else talking about this. I said, where's my false flag? Don't they even try anymore? Don't they even care if we have consent? Don't they even try to make a case? Well, no, they don't, quite frankly. The timing of this war really wasn't a surprise, except for the false flag being missing. As I wrote, the timing of this war was no surprise. The Jerusalem Post had asked all four AI large language models on Wednesday when war would begin. It took a little bit of coaxing, if you remember, to get them to finally come up with a date. However, Grok immediately came up with February the 28th, the day that Trump actually pulled the trigger. The others came up with dates that were between the 28th and this coming Saturday. One of them said sometime between Wednesday and Friday, and I said, that's not going to happen. He's going to do it when the markets are closed, just like Gerald Slinty said. We all know that. We've seen the patterns before. We know these patterns. But part of the pattern is they always do a false flag. Where's my 9/11? Where's my Gulf of Tonkin event? Don't you want to try to give me something to believe in? This is where we are, folks. They do whatever they wish. They don't care what the Constitution says. Open defiance of the Constitution. Open defiance of the Geneva Convention. Open defiance of the laws of God Almighty. That's what this Trump administration is. Pure evil. No surprise he'd be eager to start this sooner, right? With all the pressures about the Epstein stuff and everything else. He doesn't want to damage that precious Dow at 50,000. You might have to investigate Epstein then at that point in time with Pam Bondi. So for all the talk of timing and how the weapons systems of each side stack up against each other, my skepticism was that it wouldn't happen on the 28th because they need to have a false flag event. Where's our false flag? We got to start that as a sequence of events. Well, the question is, however, as I said in this article, I said, where's my 9/11? Should have guessed this from the testimony of women that Trump is not into foreplay, is he? Yeah, he told Billy Bush to paraphrase it, hey, if you're a Zionist, they just let you, right? Just get to do whatever you want. Question is, however, will the Pentagon and Palantir respect us in the morning? No, they will not, of course. And that's another aspect of this that we must not lose sight of. This back and forth between War Pete, Trump, and Anthropic, which has the large language model Claude. Folks, this is really significant in a number of ways. First of all, the fact that the sticking point were the red lines in their ethics statements about not doing mass surveillance, not setting up Chinese-style credit scores for people, and not using AI for autonomous killer weapons. These are important things. To the Pentagon, that's enough for them to try to destroy Anthropic. And of course, that's another issue. A lot of people in business are saying, you know, we're looking at very unusual things being done by the Trump administration. We've had unconstitutional bailouts of industries and companies in the past. And yet now what they're doing is they're taking active control of companies to actually be participatory in the management of the company and to decide what's going to be sold and what's not going to be sold. And, of course, now the vengeance, they said, well, we've really interwoven Anthropic into our systems, so if we have to get rid of them, it's going to be very painful. And we're going to make them pay a price. We're going to tell them they have to do whatever we want. If we give them lawless orders, remember all that about murdering people on ship, on boats off the coast of Venezuela? Yeah, don't you dare tell the troops that they can't follow lawless orders. You know, it's the simplest thing in the world for War Pete and the Pentagon to say, we didn't give them lawless orders. And, of course, when push comes to shove, Mark Kelly and his co-sponsor backed off. And said, I can't think of anything lawless that they did. Really? You're not thinking too hard, are you? Except that you want those same powers when your party gets in power, when you become president. He's got presidential aspirations. He would love to do exactly the same stuff. Don't fool yourself. Mark Kelly is no better. If you can't find lawless actions in what was happening in Venezuela, you're just not paying attention, or you're lying through your teeth. And so they don't care about lawless actions. As a matter of fact, they want Anthropic to do lawless actions. Good for them for not doing it. And of course, Sam Altman, who will do anything to ingratiate himself, anything for money and power, he's their go-to guy. This despicable character, first time I saw him was when he had that orb thing that he was came up with. He invented a cryptocurrency, which had absolutely no value. And if you would voluntarily give him your biometrics by looking into this orb, what a metaphor. if you'd give up your biometric information and look into that orb, he would give you a little bit of his worthless cryptocurrency. As he builds a global database of people. What an evil person Sam Altman is. He's going to make Bill Gates look good. I tell you, you just wait and see. We haven't seen the last of Sam Altman. And so what is going on with Pentagon and Palantir and these large language models is very instructive. It tells you what the goal of the police surveillance state is. It tells you what the goal of the Trump administration is. And it tells you why they are so adamant that there'll be no regulations of AI. You know, they're coming back and saying, well, it's not about that at all. It's just that we wanted the principle that they would do whatever we to say, regardless of whether it's legal, regardless of whether it's ethical. You do whatever we're going to say. You make that agreement now? I'm not saying I'm going to ask you to do anything lawless or unethical. who would ever think that that is something that they would ever ask us to do? But I just want to establish the principle that you have no legal restraints. I have no legal restraints, and you're not going to be restrained in what I tell you to do. You're not going to come back and question whether it's legal or moral, right? That's what so-called Christian, air quote Christian, Pete Hegseth wants. Disgusting. Such a disgusting. He's a traitor to Christ, the same as Mike Huckabee is. A traitor to Christ and to this country and to the principles, both of them. And so the question is, will they respect us in the morning? Of course they will not. They've already made it clear when they divorced Anthropic that the weapons of war abroad will become instruments of tyranny at home. The Pentagon has publicly decided that mass surveillance of the American public is viewed by them as a core mission. That lawless, illegal orders, immoral orders are a core mission of our Pentagon. Let's start calling it the Pentagram. If you want to embrace satanic values, just amazing. The Pentagon has publicly declared this to be their core mission. The very reason they gave for rejecting Anthropic was that Anthropic has in its mission statement a rejection of domestic surveillance and autonomous killing machines, which are arguably more dangerous than nuclear weapons. And we have no known way of controlling them. I've been talking about this for over a decade. It's like 12 years, I think it was, like going back to some of the interviews that I had with Noel Sharkey, who put this together. And I've talked to, what is the guy's name? Brad Charest, I think. Charest is his last name. He wrote the book, Four Battlegrounds. And it was about the wargaming that's going on in the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex. I guess we should call it the Machiavellian industrial complex. They were talking about the race of artificial intelligence with China. And what do we do with that? And, of course, he openly admits that having autonomous killer weapons is a very dodgy proposition. How do we stop it? Once we set these things up, and both sides, the Chinese, we got theirs, we got ours. If you don't give firepower to your autonomous weapons, you're going to lose. If you got humans in the loop, they're slow. And so your side is going to lose. So you have to turn all this over to them. Once you turn it over, how do you stop it? What stops it? Well, we don't know yet, but we're going to do it anyway. Right? So we know where the Pentagon and Lethal Pete are going with all this stuff. If Anthropic won't aid the exploding police surveillance dystopian state that Trump and the Pentagon demand, then Anthropic must be put out of business. Think about that. You are the enemy of the Pentagon. You and I. Not just the Ayatollah. And by the way, the Ayatollah was just an adverse effect of an injection. An injection of a king into Iranian politics and government. That was a coup that was done in 1953. 73 years ago, we injected the Ayatollah. We injected the king, and the Ayatollah was the adverse effect. The CIA overthrew a democratically elected president, installed a king in Iran in 1953, along with a CIA Mossad-trained secret police and intelligence agency, the brutal and evil Savak, a creature of the CIA and the Mossad, created in their image. That, folks, is the history of Iran. And yet here is Donald Trump's history.
47 years, the Iranian regime has chanted death to America and waged an unending campaign of bloodshed and mass murder, targeting the United States, our troops, and the innocent people in many, many countries. Among the regime's very first acts was to back a violent takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, holding dozens of American hostages for 444 days. In 1983, Iran's proxies carried out the Marine Barracks bombing in Beirut that killed 241 American military personnel.
And Ronald Reagan had the good sense to get out. He said, these people are crazy. Let's stop playing this game. You know, let's go back to that. Okay, 73 years ago, we overthrew their government. We put in the Shah. You know what the Shah really means? It means king. It's Persian for king. We overthrew a democratically elected government. Talk about consent of the government, of the governed, rather, on this 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. We overthrew a democratically elected government, whether you like it or not, and we installed a king. And the people who were doing it were the CIA, along with the Mossad. They didn't start chanting death to America, death to Israel, and the little Satan, big Satan stuff until about 25, 30 years later. What took them so long? That's what I don't understand. So think about all this on the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Think about what your country has become. How has it been subverted by evil men and evil institutions? As we put ourselves on the back for our freedoms and our rights and our consent of the governed, ask yourself if today the CIA and Mossad are better than they were 73 years ago. We look at Epstein, all the rest of them, we just understand what they're doing is they're perfecting their evil. They're far worse than they were 73 years ago. The Ayatollah was a bad reaction to an awful king. What bad reaction is America likely to have from this awful king, Trump? And the world, I should say. He aspires to be king of the world. I mean, that's what his board of peace is really about. And I see a comment here from High Boost. I guess the board of peace isn't going so well. Yeah, it's really more like this. Court Jester Lindsey Graham, Trump with his crown, and he's bored of peace, B-O-R-E-D. He's tired of it, absolutely tired of it. Well, the Trump and his Zionist masters went straight for the jugular in a decapitation strike, and our fellow Americans are disturbingly quiet about what has now become standard operating procedure, attacking countries that have not attacked us. Let me just say this. Preemptive strikes are always immoral. Always immoral. And usually illegal by international law, if that mattered. We called that infamy at Pearl Harbor, and yes, it was, regardless of what had preceded it. I mean, the Japanese had a lot more justification for what they did at Pearl Harbor, as bad as it was. They had more justification than Trump has for this. They were 100% dependent on foreign oil. We had stopped 80% of their oil, as Gerald Slinty frequently points out. When you do economic sanctions of that nature, let's understand what sanctions are. Sanctions are an act of war. And I said this when Trump locked this country down in 2020. I said, what we're seeing here is an economic sanction against Main Street, against mom and pop businesses, against the big box Wall Street retail, big box Wall Street retailers were on his side. And he was going to war for them against the mom and pops and the Main Street businesses and everyday Americans who had voted for him. It was economic war. It was sanctions. It was a siege. You know, when you surround a castle and you cut off their supplies to starve them out, that is an act of war. And it shouldn't be a surprise if when you're threatening the existence of people, if you've got them backed into a corner, it shouldn't be a surprise when they attack and respond to that existential threat. So the fact that he's doing this now is actually nothing new. And what is sad is that just as it all happened in 2020, and most Americans were silent, the media cheered it. The media got all caught up in the, you know, the vaccines and the narrative about viruses and all the rest of the stuff. Like the media is caught up right now. And whose missile system is it? And who's prevailing with this? And what's the latest that we hear? And of course, it's all controlled. There's news breaking today that some F-15s have been shot down that are being flown by Kuwait in support. Now, the story comes out that they were shot down by friendly fire, mistaking them. I don't know about that. You know, we can't tell. Truth is the first casualty of war. Nevertheless, there are going to be some casualties, and Trump was very casual about it, wasn't he? He says he wasn't, but his actions say otherwise. So we are told that Iran is a terrorist state. It uses threats, violence, and threats of violence to achieve political, religious, and social goals, and that is the textbook definition of terrorism, isn't it? Iran does fit the bill. But doesn't that also describe the American regime? Never has our terrorism been more shameless than under Trump. Both foreign and domestic, the Trump regime strives for conflict because it makes them feared. And isn't that the purpose of terrorism and the purpose of organized crime? Trump is a mafia don, folks. That's the way he sees the world, whether he's dealing with people domestically, the other political party, the press, the foreign countries. You must fear him. You must kiss the ring. Well, it won't end there. We can always dream of a better day, a better America. We can't dream, rather we can dream, of making America American again. We can strive for the ideals of America, the rule of law, freedom, dignity, peaceful commerce, and no foreign entanglements would be a good start. I'm not a pacifist. A just or justified war is a noble cause. Because what is it? It's not aggression. It's not attacks. It's defending innocent life from aggression, from attacks, from bad actors. It is people putting their lives at risk to stop unprovoked, unjustified attacks by bad actors in the same way that a fireman rushes into a burning building that may have been set on fire by an arsonist, or a police officer runs into a school to stop a shooter rather than running away from the school and hiding. That is what a just war is. It's putting on a uniform to identify yourself as a combatant in order to spare non-combatants from being attacked. By the way, do you remember when we didn't target civilians in war? It was before most of us were born, quite frankly. A just war is fighting to stop the violence that you did not start. It is fighting to preserve life. It is fighting to end war. That is the just purpose of war. That is the just purpose of the Department of Defense. It used to be called the Department of War. They cynically renamed it to the Department of Defense when their purpose was to preemptively start wars, to attack civilian populations. So the first few generations of American leaders understood that we don't go abroad seeking monsters to destroy. Why is that? Because we become monsters when we do that. That is the nature of human nature. The lesson has been unlearned. Nothing the U.S. government is doing is justified at this point. It is simply terrorism. In this last year, we have seen kidnapping and murder for regime change, shooting survivors of a boat that we blew up without justification in the first place. We've seen threats to invade or economically destroy friendly nations just so that Trump can show how strong his regime is. It is ego politics, not geopolitics. That's just a few of these things. As I wrote, Trump is satanic, even apart from his Epstein debauchery. And Stephen Miller, Pee Wee German, is the little Satan. We have to reject this criminal regime of terror, pillage, and intimidation. We need to remember that God is not mocked either. That one way or the other, we will reap what they sow, even if we're not involved in it. They are leaders, and it disturbs me to see how many Americans are cheering this. USA, USA. Right now, we are sowing in order to reap a whirlwind. The Bible is misquoted by a lot of politicians to say that God will bless those who bless Israel, curse those who curse Israel. No. He was talking to Abram personally. Look at the pronouns. We had pronouns in Hebrew just as we had pronouns in Old English. You means a collection of people. Thee means the person, one person that you're talking to. Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, Abraham. I will curse those who curse you, Abraham. But through your seed, singular, all nations will be blessed. What is that singular seed? The Lord Jesus Christ is that singular seed. Not Netanyahu, not some political entity in the Middle East, not the Israeli government. So Lord Jesus Christ, and don't you dare substitute the Lord Jesus Christ, Israel for the Lord Jesus Christ. What blasphemy I see from these Zionist shills. I am disgusted with what I see with them. Jesus says that peacemakers are blessed. Jesus says peacemakers will be called the children of God. As a matter of fact, shortly before that, John the Baptist said to the Jews, he said, don't brag about the fact that Abraham is your father. God can raise up these stones to be his children. And God will raise up the peacemakers to be his children. You'll know his children by their actions. Peacemaker or warmonger? Nominal Christians need to stop cheering this warmongering by Israel. They need to learn to be peacemakers and ambassadors for Christ. As well as Mike Huckabee, for example. He has betrayed his office as ambassador for Christ as well as ambassador for America. Folks, it begins with us. Well, I have a lot that I want to say about this besides what is going on, and we'll catch up with what is happening this morning, but I'm going to take a breather right now and calm down a little bit. I've been pretty upset this entire weekend looking at this disgusting situation. I don't even know this country anymore.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Atheist. Oh, welcome back. I want to talk a little bit about what's happening this morning. Of course, we have the Strait of Hormuz was closed. We've had a couple of oil tankers that have been hit. We've had a Saudi Arabian oil refinery, one of the biggest, if not the biggest in their country, has been hit with drones. Shutting the oil supply down, just closing, forget about the oil refineries and this other types of attacks on infrastructure that are happening there. Just shutting down the Strait of Hormuz is going to be more disruptive, folks, in terms of the percentage of the world's oil supply than the OPEC embargo of 1973. Do you remember that? If you're old enough, you can't forget that. It's one of these things like one of these lifetime events that you can't forget, or can't forget the consequences of it either, how it affected our society. And, you know, we were not really that dependent on foreign oil at the time. And it was only a small percentage of the foreign oil that we got as well. And yet, look at the disruption that it caused in our country. And it caused a lot of disruption in other countries as well, because even though they didn't put an embargo on, let's say, Europe, for example, it was targeted to the U.S. because the U.S. had supported Israel in the Yom Kippur War. And so it was targeted towards the United States, but because of the impact, because we went on the market competing against other people to try to get the other oil that was on the international markets, it was felt worldwide. Now this is a situation where 20% of the world's oil flows through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran said, we just closed it. Let's see that orange pig open it, if he can. Orange pig, good description. But this is going to be very disruptive, and it is bigger than just the amount of oil going through the Strait of Hormuz. It's much bigger. What do you think is going to happen economically? When you look at the OPEC oil embargo, that kicked off stagflation, rapid inflation, stagnant economy. We're already looking at stagnation, recession, and possibly depression. Donald Trump is a one-man fourth turning. Global depression, global war. Everything that he's done in the first year of this second term has been to foment conflict needlessly. Foment conflict even with Canada. All this nonsense about Greenland. And on and on. He's not the peace president. He is the conflict president. And he does the same thing domestically. Something needed to be done about the open border. Something needed to be done about the welfare state and the corruption and the fraud involving people who came here illegally, even people who came here legally. Something needed to be done about that. Everything that he did was designed to throw gasoline on the dumpster fire that he inherited. And that's what he's doing now. And so when we look at what is happening, gold is up, Bitcoin is up, the markets are shaky and down. This could be a real turning point. It is absolutely reckless what he's doing, just from that standpoint. Of course, money seems to be about the only thing that he cares about. But he's got a plan to make money out of this. You can be sure about that. Let's take a look at the betrayal. But actually, we've got a couple of comments here. Audi MRR, he says, our heroes in the military bombed a middle school in Iran over the weekend, killing over 100 schoolgirls. USA, USA, USA. Actually, it's 153. And I've got some comments from Scott Ritter about that and something that he went through that was very similar, unfortunately. DGA, thank you for the tip. He said, David, they needed Charlie Kirk out of the way. He was opposed to any war in Iran, and he was leaving the Israel First agenda. Yep, that's right. That was in April. Now, I've got the clip of something he talked about. He questioned October the 7th, and he was told by top Jewish donors, no Tucker, no Candace, or they would defund TPUSA. And he was fine with that. David, we're getting too close to the Clintons, the Trump family, Lutnick, Bibi, Ehud, Barack, Bannon, Thiel, Bill Gates, and the Epstein files. So it's time to wag the dog and deflect the attention. Absolutely. I agree with all of that that you're saying. And U.S. strikes in Iran, the New American called it what it was, unconstitutional. And breaking of a major campaign promise by Trump of no more foreign wars. Trump broke a key campaign vow. And I would say it's not just the campaign vows. He takes an oath to the Constitution. And I said this about Donnie the first time through. I said, what made anybody think this guy was going to keep his oath to the Constitution? He took an oath to love, honor, and obey and stick to his wives. He broke that over and over again. The Constitution, it's easier to break that than it is to break the relationship that you've got with someone that you're very close to, isn't it? Trump said in a short speech that he wanted to protect American national security. No, this is not about the peace and safety of you and I. And that's what national security has become. National security has become antithetical to the peace and safety of Americans. National security is just another name for continuity of government, folks. Iran retaliated, striking the headquarters of U.S. Navy 5th Fleet in Bahrain and poured missiles into Israel. Iran also hit targets across the Middle East. Top Republicans rightly called the U.S. air raid unconstitutional, writes the New American. The warplanes and the ships that are in the Middle East are part of the largest U.S. military buildup since the Iraq War in 2003. Two aircraft carriers, a number of naval destroyers, and more than 50 fighter planes. Yeah, well, how did that Iraq War turn out? There's another quixotic quest about weapons of mass destruction. You know, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons, just like Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction either. And it was all based on lies from the CIA. We get lied into one war after the other, just like we were lied into a pandemic. And they use that to attack us chemically. Those missiles are scattered and launch sites across Iran were the first targets, U.S. military officials said. Trump gave an 8-minute speech. That's it. Is that in the Constitution? Before we go to war, the president gives an 8-minute speech or something. No debate, no discussion, no vote, just attack. And that means that there is no justification. This is unconstitutional. It is illegal. And it is also immoral. Should we dare say that? You know, that's the thing that is missing in everybody's discussion. Yes, we can talk about the practicality of this. Are we going to win this, whatever winning means? You know, that's part of the issue. One of the reasons why you would have a discussion and a debate with Congress before you go to war. What does victory look like? What's the goal here? Are we going to try to stop a war that has started? Has somebody invaded somebody else somewhere else? So we got to tamp that down so we can get back to a state of peace? No, no, we're the ones who are starting all this stuff. So that's not on the table. What does victory look like? So Trump says they're a vicious group of very hard, terrible people whose activities directly endanger the United States, our troops, our bases overseas, and our allies throughout the world. Well, I think the same thing could be said of the Trump regime that is said of the Iranian regime. As I said, the Trump regime is also a terrorist regime. Think about it. The Trump regime is a vicious group of very hard, terrible people. We've seen it in Venezuela. We've seen it in Minneapolis. We're seeing it now in Iran. Activities directly endangering the United States, our troops, and our bases overseas. And our allies as well. Yeah, all that could be said of the Trump administration as well. Trump said the regime has chanted death to America for almost 50 years. Well, we overthrew their government 73 years ago. What took them 23 years to figure out that we're the great Satan? Hope you realize it. Anyway, his history lesson begins with the takeover of the U.S. Embassy in Tehran in 1979 and the taking of the American hostages who were held for 44 days. Well, let's talk about that. The hostages who were held for 444 days, why were they held for 444 days? Well, one of the founders of the CIA, Bill Casey, Wild Bill Casey of the OSS, that was created during World War II, then it became the CIA. Wild Bill Casey was a campaign manager for Ronald Reagan. He was the one who put together the Iran-Contra deal. Tell you what, you keep those hostages and don't release them. Even after the election, you keep them hostage. Don't release them until the day that Ronald Reagan is sworn in. If you do that, said Wild Bill Casey to the Iranian Ayatollah, he said, we will give you spare parts for all those jets that we gave to the Shah. And they did. That was the Iran-Contra affair. And what did they do with that money that they got from the Iranians? Well, they started an illegal secret war in Central America as well. That was our government 40-some-odd years ago. So, yeah, let's put a little bit of context there, because that context matters. It matters how the Ayatollah got into power and why. It was blowback from what we had done. We had put in a horrific king who had a secret police and police surveillance state. And we were involved in what is the beginning of Iran in the American mind, and that is the takeover of the embassy. We were involved in extending that. Ronald Reagan and the CIA. From Lebanon to Yemen, from Syria to Iraq, the regime has armed, trained, and funded terrorist militias, said Trump about Iran. Well, I would say that we've done the same thing with a much wider sweep. I mean, we've given money to Al-Qaeda. We've trained the Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda. We've given money and arms to ISIS and so forth. Folks, we have done a lot more to train and fund Al-Qaeda and ISIS than Iran has. It's just like the war on drugs. We look at these drug cartels. Do you realize the CIA's role in all of this stuff? It's much more significant in terms of the war on drugs. So, yeah, Iran is the world's number one state sponsor of terrorism, said Trump. No, I disagree. I say you are. You, the American government, you, the president, are the number one sponsor of this stuff. Trump said the regime has rejected every opportunity to end their nuclear ambitions, and we can't take it anymore. This lying piece of filth said that he destroyed the nuclear weapons. And now here he is a couple months later saying, now we got to destroy them. So when were you lying? Was it then? Is it now? Is it both times? So when we look at this mafia action that is here, I always think of the back and forth that Jeff Sessions had with then the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and with the Secretary of Defense at the time, lying Leon Panetta. And Leon Panetta and the arrogance of these guys and what their focus is. And I wanted you to hear just a little bit of it. It's very long, but I think you really need to hear this. And I had high expectations for Jeff Sessions because of this session. Now, he was a little bit milquetoast, I think, in his response to them, but he was as outraged as Jeff Sessions can get. And in terms of the comments being made by Panetta and the others, in terms of what it takes to start a war. And yet, Jeff Sessions, when he became Attorney General, was really not about the rule of law. He had his own little war that he wanted to fight, the war on drugs, which also was a UN war. He argues with Panetta, well, you know how this all works. You were a congressman. Why don't you know that you don't get your authority from the UN to do a war? Well, Senator, we do, and we'll tell you what, you know, what we're going to do afterwards. But Jeff Sessions is pushing a UN agenda, a UN war of drugs. Yes, it was enacted by Richard Nixon, but all the schedule and everything else like that came from the United Nations. And he was willing to violate the Constitution in order to do that. And it's very clear. All of America, when the 18th Amendment was passed in the early 20th century, when they did alcohol prohibition, all of America agreed that a constitutional amendment was necessary. The people who wanted prohibition, the people who opposed prohibition, they all agreed that a constitutional amendment was necessary. Where do you have the authority to do a war on drugs? Sorry. Everybody throws the rule of law out the window for their particular cause, don't they? But here's this back and forth. And just pay attention to the attitude of Leon Panetta and all this, the smug attitude about all this. We'll do whatever we want, Senator. We'll let you know. He's not so dense that he doesn't know what Jeff Sessions is getting at. It's just that he's arrogant. And it's the same kind of arrogance that has permeated our government and the Pentagon to this day.
General Dempsey, you and one of your criteria for determining what we might do militarily, you say you have to ask the question whether the action is worth the cost and is consistent with law. What law does the United States military look to?
Yeah, if I could, since I'd like to address both because they are related. So cost, resources, risk incurred elsewhere by the use of force one other place. So, you know, it's a zero-sum game. We take them from someplace else, we use them for how long, and that's the kind of issue of cost. Is it? And, of course, in blood and treasure. The issue of legal.
Oh, yeah. Let me talk about people losing their lives here.
You know, we act with the authorized use of military force either at the consent of a government, so we're invited in, or out of national self-defense, there's a very clear criteria for that. And then the last one is with some kind of international legal basis, an UNSCR.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about an international legal basis. You answer under the Constitution to the United States government, do you not? And you don't need any international support before you would carry out a military operation authorized by the commander.
No, of course not. That's the that's the second one.
I just want to know that because there's a lot of references in here to international matters before we make a decision. And I want to be sure that the United States military understands, and I know you do, that we're not dependent on a NATO resolution or a UN resolution to execute policies consistent with the national security of the United States.
Senator, when it comes to our national defense, we act based on on protecting the security of this country, and we don't look for permission from anybody else when it comes to our national defense.
Good.
When it comes to the kind of military action where we want to build a coalition and work with our international partners, then obviously we would like to have some kind of legal basis on which to do it as we did in Libya.
And that doesn't include Congress.
Some sort of legal basis. We worried about international legal basis, but nobody worried about the fundamental constitutional legal basis that this Congress has over war. We were not asked, stunningly, in direct violation of the War Powers Act, whether or not you believe it's constitution, it certainly didn't comply with it. We spent our time worrying about the UN, the Arab League, NATO, and too little time, in my opinion, worrying about the elected representatives of the United States. As you go forward, will you consult with the United States Congress, and can we be assured that you will have more consultation and more participation and legal authority from the duly elected representatives of
believe me, we will. We don't have a corner on the market with regards to issues involving our defense. We want to consult with the Congress. We want to get your best advice and your guidance. And when we take action, we want to do it together.
And do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
Our goal would be
to
seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is, we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big
issue. You took an oath to the Constitution.
You served in the Congress.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that that's would be pretty breathtaking to the average American? So would you like to clarify that?
But I've also served with Republican presidents and Democratic presidents, who has always reserved the right to defend this country if necessary.
What entity?
Well, obviously, if NATO made the decision to go in, that would be one. If we developed an international coalition beyond NATO, then obviously some kind of UN security resolution would be the basis
for that. Coalition of...
And this goes on and on. And you see what's happening. You know, he clearly knows what Jeff Sessions is getting at. And he clearly is going to repudiate anything that's in the Constitution that he swore an oath to uphold as part of his taking office as a congressman, part of his taking office as Secretary of Defense. And I think he was at the CIA as well. This is under Obama. And what was the immediate issue in this was putting a no-fly zone over Syria, which is an act of war. And we had these discussions again when they wanted to put troops on the ground. Well, they did put troops on the ground, and Trump left the troops on the ground in Syria, and we had Americans killed on the ground in Syria. Nobody ever asked, why are they there? By what authority are they there? They just did it anyway. You see, Trump, Obama, Panetta, they don't care about the Constitution. They've made it abundantly clear. It has absolutely nothing to do with what they decide to do. Trump made that clear when his reaction to the Supreme Court. He said, I can do whatever I want to do. And if I want to use these against a country, I can do it. I can destroy that country if I wish. That's right, because the power to tax is the power to destroy. Just understand those taxes are not being paid by that country. They're being paid by you. Trump is destroying you with taxes. Well, we've seen this happening over and over again, and Trump was very vocal in terms of wanting to criticize Obama over wanting to start a war with Iran from 2011, 12, 13, over and over again. This is what Trump wrote. In order to get elected, Obama will start a war with Iran. Obama will attack Iran in order to get elected. That's another one that he put up. Then that's 2011, 2012, and 2013. He says, I predict Obama will at some point attack Iran in order to save face. Then 2011, a couple months later, he says, remember that I predicted a long time ago that Obama will attack Iran because of his inability to negotiate properly. He's not skilled. Well, interestingly enough, Obama did not attack Iran. But by the way, you know, in terms of this no-fly zone and troops on the ground and leaving troops on the ground, all the rest of the stuff in Syria, the way the Syrian situation went, we were flying air support in defense of ISIS. You could see it with the A-10 Warthogs that were there, the closing of that war as Assad was taken out of power. And who was that in support of? It's in support of a group where the commander had been an alumni of Mujahideen, of Al-Qaeda, of ISIS, of al-Nusra. He's calling himself something different now. I don't know. They change their name every few months, but it's the same people with the same purpose. And we were flying air support for them to overthrow Assad. Yeah, Trump has shown when he talks about Obama's going to go to war with Iran because he can't negotiate properly. Well, Trump had already decided he was going to go to war. And he was pretending to have negotiations. And it was treachery, just like he did last summer when they did the bombing. You get the other side to think that you were negotiating with them in good faith. And then you do a sneak attack. Like I said before, this is beyond even the Japanese at Pearl Harbor, the kind of treachery. And this is going to blow back. If Trump ever wants to really do any negotiations, who can trust him when he's doing this kind of stuff? And, of course, who can trust him anyway when he talks about how we're going to starve the warmongers?
Just as importantly, bringing back impoundment will give us a crucial tool with which to obliterate the deep state, drain the swamp, and starve the warmongers, these people that want wars all over the place, killing.
They're gorging killing, themselves killing, at Mar-a-Lago.
They love killing. And the globalists out of our government. We're going to get the warmongers and the globalists out of our government.
What a lying traitor Trump is. Jeffrey Sachs had this to say about what was going to happen with this.
This has never been about nuclear weapons. This has been about Israel's regional hegemony in the Middle East. Israel wants to topple the Iranian regime, period. It has said so. This is not a mystery. This is not my claim. This is Israeli policy repeated year in, year out. The whole idea that Trump is negotiating to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon, that was negotiated. Trump ripped it up. The Iranians have come back every year to say, we don't want a nuclear weapon, we want negotiations. The United States does not accept yes for an answer because it works for the government of Israel. This is the point. Why does it work for the government of Israel? It's a little hard to understand. Maybe because it's of Mike Huckabee's parishioners, because of people who read the Bible and say, okay, that's our foreign policy. That's possible. It may be because of what's in the Epstein files that haven't been released. It may be blackmail. It may be corruption. It may be many other things. But it is not about America's interests. We have no interest whatsoever in going to a war with Iran right now. Yeah, if there is such a war, it's a war because Israel has told the United States what to do. And that raises a question. Why has the United States done what Israel has told the United States to do for 30 years? And I don't just mean about Iran. I mean across the Middle East.
Yeah, that's right. Trump officials previously mocked opponents for wanting war in the Middle East. Well, if you vote for Biden or Lala Harris or the Democrats, you're going to get war. You know, it's kind of interesting. That's one of the things that Julian Assange said about Hillary Clinton. He said, we know that Hillary Clinton is a warmonger and a crook. He said, we don't know about Donald Trump yet. Well, it didn't take too long to find out. Donald Trump is a warmonger. Donald Trump is a crook like we have never seen before. And, of course, he tried to kill Julian Assange, he and his fellow crooks and CIA followers. To anyone who is still gullible enough to fall for scummy media hoaxes, Trump said warmongering neocon love sending your kids to die for wars they would never fight themselves. Who said that? Stephen Miller before the election. Pee Wee German. He said Liz Cheney is Kamala's top advisor. Liz wants to invade the whole Middle East. Kamala equals World War III, said Stephen Miller. Trump equals peace. Yeah, that guy is piece of work. And so it's kind of interesting. This is an article that's actually put up, featured on WND. WND is a website that loves Trump and loves Israel. They didn't write this article. It was written by a Daily Caller, but they featured it. What's going to be the political fallout for Trump and the Republicans on this? It remains to be seen. Left-wing commentator Jug Legum posted a screenshot of a January 31st, 2023 op-ed piece by J.D. Vance in which he touted the fact that Trump had started no wars during his first term in office. A 2020 post to Twitter by now Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard featured a T-shirt with "No War with Iran" on it. She was, at the time, a Democrat member of Congress running for the presidential nomination. But in support of Trump, she had this to say as well.
Join me as I say these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
And that that's why we don't have unjustified preemptive wars.
Certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, this choice that we have before us is very personal to me. I'm a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve. I've served now for over 21 years. I've deployed to different war zones three times over that period, and I've seen the cost of war. For my brothers and sisters who paid the ultimate price, I carry their memories and their sacrifice in my heart every day. Here is the choice that we have. A vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for Dick Cheney, and it's a vote for war, more war, likely World War III and nuclear war.
But now they're for it.
A vote for Donald Trump is a vote for a man who wants to end wars, not start them. History will look back on us at this moment for the choice that we make. Did we?
More importantly, God will.
Or peace.
History is not an entity. History is people in the future will look back on you. God is looking at you right now, Tulsi. Not a Hindu god either. So, yeah, that is the, a vote for Lala Harris is a vote for World War III and war with Iran, but not if you vote for Trump. He is the peace candidate. I'm reminded of the fact that you had FDR campaigned on keeping us out of war, didn't he? Did just the opposite. To anyone still gullible enough to fall for scummy media hoaxes, that's Stephen Miller. Or how about the scummy hoaxes of the Trump regime? That's the reality of all this stuff. Well, yeah, he wants Trump doesn't want to have any more regime change wars, he said.
Our current strategy of nation building and regime change is a proven absolute failure.
We will break the cycle of regime change.
We must abandon the failed policy of nation building and regime change that Hillary Clinton pushed in Iraq, in Libya, in Egypt, and in Syria. Regime change takes chaos.
You've seen how that works over the last 20 years. That hasn't been too good.
Not a reckless interventionist globalism.
We're getting out of the nation-building business.
Except when we aren't. Again, you want to fall for scummy hoaxes like that from scummy people like Trump? Marjorie Taylor Greene said, this is not freeing the Iranian people. You know, that's the way Trump is trying to present this right now. She said, this is murdering their children. That's right. When we look at the decapitation strike that they did, I think it's very telling that the top three candidates that the Trump regime would like to see take the place of Khamenei that they killed, the top three candidates were killed along with him. These people are clowns, folks. They're dangerous, lying, murdering clowns. They had some people they thought they were going to be adults in the room, and they killed them as well. Because you got to get the Ayatollah Khamenei. And my generation has been let down, abused, and used by our government and our entire adult lives, and our children's generation is literally being abandoned, said Marjorie Taylor Greene. Thousands and thousands of Americans from my generation have been killed and injured in never-ending, pointless foreign wars, and we said no more. But now we're going to free the Iranian people. She said, please, please give me a break. Iran is on the verge of having nuclear weapons. Yeah, sure, she said. We have been spoon-fed that line for decades. It was always a lie. And it is always America last and Israel first. That's really, I had the end Israel first. Thomas Massie also came out, said, I'm opposed to this war. This is not America first. The Constitution requires a vote, and your representative needs to be on record as opposing or supporting this war. He said, this attack is an act of war that is unauthorized by Congress. Rand Paul reminded Trump that only Congress has the authority to declare war. He quoted President John Quincy Adams' famous words about not going abroad seeking monsters to destroy. James Madison's words to Thomas Jefferson saying, the executive branch is the branch that is most prone to war. Therefore, the Constitution, with studied care, delegated the war powers to the legislature. Yeah, once the war is declared, it'll be managed by the commander in chief, but the decision as to whether or not to go to war should never be the decision of the executive. Or now we don't have the executive branch anymore. We have the emergency branch since Trump became president. Whenever he wants to do something, he declares emergency. And it says, now I can do it through executive orders, and the Constitution is suspended. On issue after issue after issue after issue, and now on war as well. Well, Free Thought Project got it right. They said the U.S.-Israeli war on Iran, it's not about nuclear weapons. It's about imperialism. Our history with Iran began in 1953, and it has been about imperialism and regime change the entire time. It did not start with the takeover of the U.S. embassy and the Iranian Revolution. That was a response to what we had done. And so Free Thought Project says, waging a war of aggression against Iran and their non-existent nuclear weapons is an absurd fig leaf, just like the Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. That's right. And so we hear this all the time as well. that they can never have nuclear weapons.
They can never have a nuclear weapon.
It's not about that.
That is why in Operation Midnight Hammer last June, we obliterated the regime's nuclear program
at Idaho,
Natanz, and Isfahan.
If you obliterated it, then why do we have to worry about it and go back to war again? He's lying both times, actually. So this is, we all understand what this is. The absurd narrative that Washington and Tel Aviv are promoting is that they had to carry out preemptive strikes. Preemptive strikes are illegal under national law. They are always immoral because they're not something that's done defensively. You're assuming that somebody's going to do something. That's like saying, well, that person looked at me with malice, so I had to shoot him. This is nonsense, writes Free Thought Project. Iran signed the nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, in 2015, in which it agreed not to pursue nuclear weapons in return for U.S. and European countries lifting their illegal, unilaterally applied sanctions. The International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, admitted that Iran was abiding by that nuclear deal. Nevertheless, Trump unilaterally tore it up in 2018 in his first term, the flagrant violation of international law that he did then. Iran's current president is ironically a reformist who sought to negotiate another deal with the same U.S. aggressors who sabotaged the previous one just a few years before. When Trump entered office for a second term in 2025, he oversaw several rounds of bad faith negotiations, quote-unquote negotiations with Iran. Then during one of those talks, the U.S. and Israel suddenly bombed Iran in June of 2025. The Wall Street Journal admitted, in a twist, U.S. diplomacy served as cover for an Israeli surprise attack. Folks, we not only are going to war for Israel, we're going to war like Israel. Lies and sneak attacks. Treachery. On February the 27th, Oman's foreign minister, who moderated the talks, said they'd made substantial progress and a peace deal was within our reach. Just a few hours later, Trump and Netanyahu launched the bombing campaign in Iran. This is the way these guys operate. The goal of this war of aggression is clear. Washington wants to topple independent government, and that's what they've been doing since 1953 in Iran. The U.S. empire, more specifically, the large U.S. corporations that it represents, want to control the plentiful resources, not only in Iran, but also in the entire region, and also in Venezuela, right? Which is home to the world's top producers of oil and natural gas, as well as critical minerals and other important commodities. Washington also hopes to cut off China's access to its top energy providers. We don't really care what happens if we plunge the world into global depression and global war, but we got to get those Chinese, right? This is insanity. What the American government has become is this cartoon character who's got a shotgun and he's trying to kill a fly in his house by shooting the place up with a shotgun. Having blasted open a vacuum, there is no guarantee that the U.S. and Israel will likely like what is going to come next. That's a headline from CNN. And as I pointed out, the top three replacements that the Trump regime wanted to take the place of the Ayatollah were killed alongside of him in that opening strike. They're clowns, idiots, evil. Khamenei's rule was marked by mismanagement, ultimately ended with one of the most brutal episodes of his trademark repression, violence that his regime meted out in order to keep power. His removal has sparked celebrations in Tehran, as well as 40 days of official mourning and huge pro-regime crowds, but also a struggle for what remains of the regime to work out what comes next. For 47 years, the theocracy was turned into an autocracy and a kleptocracy. Well, I would say it was for 73 years. What the Shah was running was also an autocracy and also a kleptocracy. The bottom line is that there's a lesson to be learned in this. You know, you can jump out of the frying pan and into the fire. And the situation was that people were sick of the Shah's repression, kleptocracy, and autocracy. How many people did he kill? Well, it wasn't reported because the CIA and Mossad had set up the Savak, and they were making sure that that information was repressed. I would argue that the Shah was every bit as repressive as the Ayatollah, perhaps better at it because the training of the CIA and Mossad. And so it was a reaction to that, and when they picked this other guy, he basically did the same thing to them. History lacks good examples of air campaigns that have easily toppled regimes and led to replacements that the attackers preferred. In other words, it hasn't happened. We keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. That is the insanity of our policy that's there. We've got a couple of comments here. DGA, thank you for the tip. He said, David, do you realize the national debt was $5.9 trillion in 2000? Almost 33 trillion more people, 33 trillion more, and people fighting over four of the worst presidents in U.S. history. And it's insane. Yeah, you're right. And of course, when you look at it, not only was the U.S. debt, tiny compared to what it is right now, we're about to hit 40 trillion from about 6 trillion, in 25 years or so. And, part of it is when you look at the amount of money that was spent in the 2000 election, Al Gore accused George W. Bush of buying the election because he and the Republican Party spent $100 million. We've got Senate races that spend more than that now. And we're probably getting there with some of the congressional races that people have had. And when you put that kind of money there, folks, that is a benchmark, a metric, if you will, of the kind of corruption that is in Washington. People aren't going to pour that kind of money in if they don't expect to get a return on their investment. And the return they get on the investment in a politician is astronomical. Usually they get $1,000 back for every dollar that they put in. It's kind of a rule of thumb I've noticed over and over again. You know, they give $1 million to this political candidate, and well, they wind up with $1 billion contract with them, with the government. And so that's one of the reasons why it has exploded. It's the corruption that is there. Washington is bought and sold. It's not just bought and sold by the Israelis. It's everybody is being bought and sold there. But the Israelis just happen to have the most obviously evil agenda. They want to shut down our free speech. They want to get us involved in wars and things like that, whereas these other people are just looting us seven ways to Sunday. Trump Burger says, I'm fully expecting a major false flag event to get the sheeple fully on board with this. Yeah, maybe they will come up with it. I guess they're going to. This is kind of what Trump does. He does whatever he feels like, and he talks about how he can do whatever he feels like. And then if he has too much pushback, then he will address it. You know, then he'll go to court. Then we'll deal with the after effects of this afterwards. So maybe that's why they skipped what is usually the prerequisite, a false flag event. The false flag may be still coming. They still see our false flag event in order to try to build support for something that he doesn't have support for and should not have support for. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
And now, the David Knight Show.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Well, I want to thank everybody for the contributions that we've received with the checks that we got and with the contributions we got on Zelle and Cash App and on Subscribestar. I want to thank you very much because we got to 7/8. I mean, it's partly my fault because I don't like to talk about it. I don't like to push this and the money aspect. We don't put it behind a paywall, and I don't like to harangue people about supporting the program. And so I didn't really talk about it till we got late into the month. But when I did start talking about it, people responded, and I want to thank you for getting us so high so quickly. And let me thank specifically some of the people who helped to produce this show. By the way, on these are the contributors on Zelle: Alex C, Daniel C, Sally D, Lois I, Matthew M. This is Michael M. I'm sorry, Mitchell M, Lisa K, Susan L, Bianca S, Kimberly M, Amy B, Joseph R, Carl H, Alexander W, Gregory C, Adam D, Michael P, William W, Susan L again, Gregory I, Terry M, Craig M, Scott M, Scott W, sorry, Janice W, Ryan F, thank you very much, and who is big supporter of this program. He has supported us with the coins that we have, and we have not put together a new commercial for those yet, but that'll be coming out real soon. Michael L, Kevin M, Ronald H, Maurice W, Craig M, and William W. Thank you so much for your support. Really do appreciate that. All of us do here. And I want to talk a little bit about the horrific consequences that we have already seen as this war has just started. We're talking earlier about the women who were killed, the girls who were killed in elementary school. Why would we be surprised when we look at what Jeffrey Epstein, Mossad, and the CIA did to girls before? This is par for the course, evidently. The Iranian state media says more than 100 students have been killed. Actually, 153 girls killed in a strike on a school. At least 153, almost all of them young girls, have been killed in an airstrike at a primary school, according to the city's governor. Happened on Saturday morning, right off the bat. The victims were between 7 and 12 years old, just like the victims of Epstein, the CIA, Mossad. And when you look at this, it was there was an excellent interview that Judge Napolitano had with Scott Ritter, and Guard covered it in a special that he did about the war on Saturday. But Scott Ritter said that he is haunted by something that happened while he was in the military. He's now a weapons inspector, and he has spoken out against war. This may be part of the reason. Listen to what he had to say about innocent civilian lives that he had a part in taking accidentally.
You know, this man is talking about striking targets to, you know, to defend Americans and all that. I've been to war. In the Gulf War, you know, I was involved in targeting. And one of the things that we did is we targeted a place called the Amaria bomb shelter. We knew it was a bomb shelter, but we had good intelligence that said it was had been converted to be used as a national level command and control facility. To be exact, just so the people understand what I'm talking about, we were hunting Scud missiles unsuccessfully. Israel was ready to get involved in this war, and we had to prevent Israel from doing that. In order to do that, we had to show that we were seriously hunting down Scud missiles. We believed that the command and control for the Scud missiles were being carried out by Saddam Hussein. And Saddam Hussein used a system called the Mark 14 radio telephone. It was made by Siemens. It was an encrypted radio telephone system with a unique signature, unique frequency ranges, etc. And we had detected the Mark 14 signal coming from antennas associated with this bomb shelter. And we had reason to believe that The Iraqis had located senior command and control in this place. And so, you know, we reviewed it. There was no indication that it was being used as a bomb shelter. I helped pick the impact points, and my job was, when the mission strike came back, to look at the photographs to determine whether or not we did it. And I know that we had to put two GBU-28s through the same hole to achieve the result. And we did it. We destroyed it. And I signed it off as destroyed, and I was feeling pretty good. A little while later, CNN came on, and we found out that we had hit a bomb shelter, and 408 women and children were dead, killed. The most horrible kind of death. When the first bomb went in, it created fire that trapped them. Neighbors could hear the women and children screaming, trying to get out. The second bomb came in, ignited, and it boiled. The firefighters were putting the water in, and all of these bodies got turned into fat. That's what happened there. And there's not a single day, you know, that doesn't haunt you. It haunts you for the rest of your life. We have hit two children's schools. We have bombed two children's schools. 63 dead children, girls, little girls dead. Their mothers waiting for their daughters to come home. They sent their daughters to school on the belief that there wouldn't be a war because there was diplomacy going on. That there wouldn't be a war because Marco Rubio said he was traveling to the region on Monday. So they sent their girls to a school. The girls were in school and we bombed it. And we bombed another one. There's 100 girls buried under that rubble being dug out now. Girls that will not survive. This is the horror of war. But what I'm trying to say is, at least when I was involved in the bombing of the Amaria shelter, we did our damnedest to make sure that it was a military target. We were wrong, and it haunts you forever.
And yet, he went on to say that what is happening now, they've been given a window that they're going to conduct these bombing raids, and I just need a lot of targets. You know, we're going to be doing these bombs, so find some targets. This is what Trump did with ICE in Minneapolis and Minnesota. I want X number of arrests. Just go find somebody, right? And when you do that, you wind up with these types of consequences. That's what Scott Ritter was talking about. You give people quotas, right? Just like here in Tennessee, we had that state highway patrol started arresting sober drivers. I'm laughing about it, but I could be one of them. Arresting sober drivers and charging them with DWI because they had a quota. So you put a quota on that. You put a quota on ICE actions. You put a quota on bombing targets. And what you get is a lot of bad results with this kind of stuff. A staff member at this one school, and remember, this is just one of the two schools. This is the one that everybody was saying was about 100 students. It turns out to be 153. There's another school that's involved. The Middle East Eye says she remains in shock at the intensity of the attack. Through tears, she said she used to watch the young girls playing at school every day. After today's strikes, however, she saw their bodies lying on classroom benches and in different corners of the school. She said she had just stepped out of the school when she suddenly heard a horrifying sound, and within seconds, a missile hit the school building. After hearing the blast, she ran back toward the school and was faced with a scene that she said she could never forget. I feel like I had gone mute. I couldn't speak. You could hear the sound of children crying and screaming. The airstrike on the school left many inside the building, trapped. There were 170 female students at the school at the time of the attack. 153 out of 170. Did a great job, didn't you guys? Good job. USA, USA. Lethality is what Pete Hegseth is about. Not legality. Not morality. Lethality. 153 out of 170 students. We got them. Good job, Pete. That's exactly what you're about. Just amazing to me. Dozens of innocent children have been murdered at this site alone. And this is just the start. As of Saturday, 201 people had been killed in Iran, 747 wounded, said the medical sources there. And then we've had three Americans. Does Donnie care about them? I don't think so. Three American service members killed in action during Operation Epic Fury. As Guard Goldsmith called it, Epic Folly. That's right. Likely many more, and they won't be telling you as all of them are killed. The situation is fluid, said the Pentagon. U.S. Central Command reported on Sunday morning that three U.S. service members in Kuwait have been killed in action during Operation Epic Fury. It was reported further that additional service members have been, five of them have been wounded seriously. Several others sustained minor shrapnel injuries and concussions. And it goes on and on. Meanwhile, you have these articles about Barron Trump making eyebrows with his fashion choices as he attended the State of the Union. Can you imagine? He goes to State of the Union in a blue tie instead of a red tie. And this is what they are talking about on the mirror. And the fact that he doesn't know how to tie a tie properly, according to them. This is the concern of the elite. Barron wore a blue tie instead of red. Doesn't he want to be the Red Baron? Curse you, Red Baron. This is Roman Emperor-style decadence, folks. It truly is.
My administration has taken every possible step to minimize the risk to U.S. personnel in the region. Even so, and I do not make this statement lightly, the Iranian regime seeks to kill. The lives of courageous American heroes may be lost.
Yeah, silver spoon in hand. Well, the more things change, the more they don't change, right?
I just want to interject real quickly. That video, the Napolitano video you played, reminded me of this interview with a World War II veteran discussing the bombing of Dresden.
Oh, yeah.
And all these years later, he's describing it, and he's breaking down, talking about how, you know, you'd see some skeletons left over from the adults.
Wow.
But there was nothing left of the children. It just vaporized them, melted them all down.
Yeah. The bombing of Dresden, that firebombing of Dresden, was actually as bad. Some people said it was worse than the nuclear bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
So this but is a continuation murder is murder. Of, you know.
That's why I said, you know, do any of us remember a situation when we had a just war where civilians were not targeted? Well, you'd have to be somebody who was around and cognizant of what was going on before World War II in order to remember that kind of a world. But we have become the monsters that we fought. We have become the Nazis. The Nazis decided they were going to do civilian bombing campaigns, and it was outrageous. Then we started doing it. And now our government, our Pentagon, is doing what the Nazi U-boat commanders were infamous for, and that is hitting ships and then targeting the shipwrecked survivors to kill them in the water. That's what we do now. That's what we have become. Marjorie Taylor Greene tears into the Trump administration, calling them sick effing liars. She got that right.
It's also worth stating that even in a just war, you're going to have unintended consequences and casualties.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But if you go in with a just war mentality, you can do what you can to minimize them.
That's right.
But if that's
why we are very careful about starting war. And it should only be done in defense after somebody else has preemptively attacked. The preemptive attacker is the bad guy. That's us over and over again. Sorry, Trump. Sorry, Travis. I didn't mean to.
Oh, you're fine. No, just if you go in without any concern for these things, you will maximize civilian casualties.
That's right.
You know, two schools, But, you know, we're just going to fire these missiles away because we've got a surplus and we're pretty sure our intel is good, right? We're pretty sure. What's the worst that could happen?
That's
170
right.
dead children, apparently, is what's the worst that could happen.
Yeah. No, it's going to get much worse than that, I think. As a matter of fact, you know, as I mentioned about Charlie Kirk earlier, Charlie Kirk put up a post. He said, this is going unnoticed because so much other news is happening. This is back in April, April 3rd. He was killed in, what was it, September? Is that when he was killed? He said, but the war drums are beating again in D.C. The war mongers, the war sellers, right, worry that this is their last chance to get the white whale they've been chasing for 30 years, an all-out regime change war against Iran. A new Middle East war would be a catastrophic mistake. Our military stockpiles are depleted after 3 years of backing Ukraine. Our effort to reshore manufacturing has only just begun and will take years to bear fruit. War would worsen our already immense deficit and national debt. Iran is larger than Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan combined. A war would not be easy and could easily become a calamity. Thanks to Trump's restraint during his first term, America has a golden opportunity to pull away from Middle East quagmires for good, he wrote. Well, I didn't see that. Charlie Kirk may have thought that he saw that. I didn't see restraint. He assassinated people. We shouldn't throw that opportunity away so that some D.C. has-beens can feel tough by sending young Americans to die yet again. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I got that clip to you or not, but a clip where he was talking, and it was kind of interesting when Charlie Kirk was talking. He was comparing and contrasting two different streams of thought within the Republican Party. And he said, well, the one is the neocons, and then he talked about some of the same things he said there. And he said they've thoroughly discredited themselves, mentioning Lindsey Graham particularly. And then he said, and then the other strand is the isolationists like Ron Paul and so forth. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, it's really not. He says, I understand it's kind of a pejorative term to call people isolationists. And it is. Ron Paul is not isolationist. Ron Paul is a non-interventionist in the mold of the first several generations of American leaders and founders who understood that we don't want to have foreign entanglements, who understood that Europe is in a constant state of war, who understood that if we go abroad to fight monsters, we become monsters ourselves. And so he said, well, we really ought to go back and take a look at this isolationism, because he said neocon is something that has completely discredited itself. And think about that, right? Neocons are not conservatives. They are neo or new conservatives, a new kind of conservatism. Conservatism, it wasn't just Ron Paul. It was a lot of people in the Republican Party going back opposing our involvement in World War I and World War II. And so they were the non-interventionists. And it is the people who have now become the leaders of the GOP that are the new version of conservatives, who want to reject the American values. But what I thought was interesting was nowhere in his discussion of all this stuff did morality play a point. Now, what is the morality of what we're doing here? You would think that Charlie would reflect on that, and I think we better reflect on that because this country is circling the drain. And this is, you know, Pete Hegseth wants to make sure they don't have any drag queen story time hours and stuff in Pentagon schools. I'm all for that. But this is just as troubling and just as corrupting when you look at this. You want to be pro-life? Save babies from being ripped apart by a surgeon's scalpel? Well, how about being pro-life and save them from being ripped apart by firebombs as well? So Marjorie Taylor Greene also mocked a post from the GOP that propped up Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance as the, quote, pro-peace ticket. I've said over and over again, they just keep misspelling peace. It's P-I-E-C-E, right? They want a piece of that country and a piece of that country and a piece of this other one. They want the oil fields in Syria. They want the oil fields in Venezuela. They want the oil fields in Iran. The Trump administration, she said, actually asked in a poll how many casualties voters were willing to accept in a war with Iran. Think about how cynical that is. And consider the fact that they will move heaven and earth to keep you from finding out what the real casualties are. So she said, how about zero, you bunch of sick effing liars? We voted for America first, and we voted for zero wars. Well, John Bolton laughs about that. He was asked on CNN about the Trump supporters who voted for no new wars. He knew better, right? His only regret, he said, was that he wasn't able to goad Trump into war with Iran when he was there. So on Saturday, he was asked on CNN, John Bolton was, if he had a message for MAGA voters who backed Trump's foreign policy message and past campaigns of avoiding wars and regime change in the Middle East. He chuckled and told voters that they made the mistake of thinking that Trump has any sort of foundational philosophy at all. Yeah, he doesn't have any moral compass, and he'll never tell you the truth. By the way, did he really deceive you? I mean, he had already assassinated like the number two guy, the top military leader in his first term. Why would you be surprised after what he did in his first term abroad, as well as what he did here domestically with the so-called pandemic? Why would any of this stuff that he's doing surprise you? It's all an extension, a continuation, an enlargement of what he did the first term. Why would you ever support somebody like this? You know, all these people say, I voted for this. It's like, you sure did, unfortunately. Anyway, Bolton went on to say, well, I think they made the mistake of believing that Trump had a consistent philosophy, a national security strategy, and a policy, which he doesn't have any of that. And that's why I say he's not playing 3D chess. He doesn't have any geopolitical strategy. His strategy is ego political. Politics are about his ego. He has to make people fear him. And to do that, he threatens, he terrorizes, and he creates conflict everywhere. He is a terrorist. Well, the regime was scalped, they said. First 30 seconds, and they took out the top guys, including the people that the Trump administration wanted to replace the Ayatollah. They took them out as well. And, of course, how was this done? Well, the CIA tracked him. And, you know, this also included Palantir. And it would also include Anthropic, which is the other thing that I want to talk about before we run out of time today. I want to talk about what is going on with the large language models and how the Pentagon and the Trump administration wants to tie artificial intelligence and all this stuff. Folks, this is your dystopian nightmare that they're putting together here. They want to go to war with the American people. They want to create mass surveillance, a credit system as the Chinese have, a system of censorship. Look at how much Trump hates free speech. And, of course, that was another one of the lies that Tulsi Gabbard said when she was campaigning for him. Now, Trump was all in favor of free speech. Have you noticed how he sues and tries to put out of business major networks if there's a story that he doesn't like? How he sues the Wall Street Journal for $10 billion and the BBC for $10 billion because he said they defamed him, or they didn't edit this properly, or they showed the Jeffrey Epstein birthday card that he said was a hoax, and it wasn't.
A vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for censorship and a complete erosion of our fundamental and constitutional rights and freedoms. A vote for Donald Trump is a vote for someone who will defend freedom and every one of our God-given rights that are enshrined in the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Yeah, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the large language models. And beyond that, the involvement Chinese style of the Trump regime in all these different corporations. We're going to take a management position in Intel. We're not just going to give them some money, but we're also going to have a say in what they do. And we've seen this over and over again. They've done it with NVIDIA. And now they're going to try to put Anthropic out of business because they refuse to erase these red lines saying there's certain things that we will not allow our large language model to be used for. Things like mass surveillance at home and autonomous killing weapons. The Trump administration doesn't like that, which speaks volumes about the Trump administration. We'll be right back.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Well, looking at the price of gold, this morning as the show was starting, it was up to $53.62. Of course, a few days ago, they were saying, well, we think it might get up to $52 or something. It's blown through that. It's now fallen back down to 53.07. But still, if you want to have something to help you weather the coming storm, I would suggest that you start trying to get some of your money into gold at least. And you can do that going to davidknight.gold. That'll take you to Tony Arteman. Tony must be having yet another one of these days. I hope the guy weathers this without a nervous breakdown. I mean, when you look at the environment that he's got to operate in, the massive price swings that are going up in it, you know, even if it's mostly going up, it's still a very difficult thing for him. So, anyway, but he's able to handle it. And a large reason that he's able to handle it is because of the people who are gradually accumulating, wisely accumulating, gold and silver at Wise Wolf, doing it through the Wolf Pack, where you can buy a little bit on a monthly basis each month. And so that has helped him as well as many people to accumulate and get some money out of the fiat dollars that are being eviscerated by the warfare welfare state that we have. Well, the CIA helped to pinpoint a gathering of Iranian leaders. Then Israel struck. And of course, the CIA is using Palantir, which is using Anthropic and so forth. The CIA had been tracking Khamenei for months, gaining more confidence about his locations and his patterns. That's called geospatial intelligence, folks. And so to point out, that's what they've been working on. The fastest growing part of the intelligence agencies going back to the late 1990s. That's where James Clapper made his mark and rose through the intelligence agencies was with geospatial intelligence. And this is what they do in terms of tracking our politics and our opinions as well. The agency learned that a meeting of top Iranian officials would take place on Saturday morning at a leadership compound in the heart of Tehran. The CIA learned that the Supreme Leader would be at the site as well. Well, the U.S. military used Anthropic in Iran strike despite a ban order by Trump, says the Wall Street Journal. Think about this. And all the lead up to this, Warpete went on the warpath with Anthropic because they said, you know, we've got some standards and we don't want our system to be used for this and this. Because you'll use it for whatever we want to do, right? If I've got something that's illegal, immoral, unethical, you'll still work with us, right? I said, no, we won't. And so it's like, okay, you got to get out of here and we're going to punish these people, said people in the Pentagon. Said it's going to be a real problem to extract them out of all these different things. And we're going to make them pay a price. We're going to try to put them out of business. We're going to declare that they are a security risk and anybody who does any business with the American government can't use them in any way possible. Well, they are doing this. And again, it's like I say, it's not geopolitics. It's not some grand scheme of what they want to do. Instead, even as they are setting up their sneak attack, right, and they know they're going to do this, they anathematize Anthropic and try to shut them down on the eve of going to war. This is like changing horses in the middle of a stream, right? What is the matter with these people? They're the gang that can't shoot straight, quite frankly. They're idiots. It's a ship of fools. The U.S. military reportedly used Anthropic during a major airstrike on Iran only hours after Trump ordered federal agencies to halt use of the computer systems. CENTCOM used Anthropic's Claude AI model for operational support, according to people familiar with the matter, cited by the Wall Street Journal. It is reportedly assisted with intelligence analysis identifying potential targets, like Khomeini, and running battlefield simulations. The incident shows how deeply advanced AI systems have become embedded in defense operations. Even as the administration moved to sever ties with the company, Claude remained integrated into military workflows. So even as they have this completely embedded there and they want to go to war, it's Trump's ego that is really the thing that we have to be concerned about, right? On Friday, the Trump administration instructed agencies to stop working with the company, directed the Department of Defense to treat it as a potential security risk. Anthropic refusing to grant unrestricted military use of its AI for any lawful scenario, they say. And yet, we look at this and it's like, lawful? What does that really mean to the Warpete administration in the Pentagon or to the Trump regime, right? It doesn't have any meaning left whatsoever. And so Anthropic has previously secured a multi-year Pentagon contract worth up to $200 million, along with several major AI labs, partnerships involving Palantir and Amazon. Claude became approved for classified intelligence and operational workflows. The system was reportedly also involved in earlier operations, including a January mission to Venezuela that resulted in the kidnapping of Maduro. Hegseth demanded that the company permit unrestricted military use of its models. The Anthropic CEO rejected the request, describing certain applications as ethical boundaries that the company would not cross. Nothing bothers Warpete more than when somebody says, don't follow illegal orders, or when somebody says, don't use my product for mass surveillance of Americans. Don't use my product to power autonomous killing machines. That's the kind of stuff that bothers him. Does it bother you what this guy's mentality is? I tell you, I've seen a lot of secretaries come and go with the Department of Defense. Pete Hegseth is absolutely the most criminal of any of them. He's worse than Lion Leon Panetta. He really is. He's of the same cloth, quite frankly. There's no ethical boundaries that he isn't demanding that people cross. And so he goes to the most unethical of the Silicon Valley technocrats, Sam Altman, and they set up a deal with OpenAI. In an interview on Saturday, the Anthropic CEO said he opposes the use of its AI models for mass domestic surveillance and for fully autonomous weapons. So therefore, the Pentagon, not just ICE, but the Pentagon is part of the domestic police state, right? Remember when Obama was suspected of this? And now while Trump is doing it, right, we said Alex Jones did four documentaries about police state USA and the Obama deception, all the rest of the stuff. But now that Trump is actually putting this into place, wants to use the Pentagon and use artificial, this is what they're so focused on AI about. Remember, I said this from the very beginning. I said the most dangerous part of AI is mass surveillance and the intelligence that they can glean by looking at you, the way they can analyze this and figure out what you're doing. But there's another aspect of this, and that is the fact that Anthropic has been banned from federal government contracts. This is reason, looking at the business side of this, the unprecedented nature of the U.S. government in a fit of ego of the Trump administration, again, ego politics, deciding that in the same way, if he doesn't like what Canadian mayor does, he wants to put massive tariffs on Canada. You know, this is his kind of reaction. You don't bow the knee to me, I will destroy you. Kiss my ring. Kiss my foot. Get down on the ground. This guy is a tyrant, a dictator, unlike any that we've ever seen in the office. We've had other people like him, but they try to hide it. Trump doesn't. He revels in it. So he's banned all federal agencies from working with him. And again, the $200 million contract is chicken feed. As I point out, it's only about 1.5% of their gross revenue. But once he puts this out and bans everybody else, if they have any interaction with the federal government, in other words, you're going to choose to work with the federal government or you're going to work with Anthropic. You can't do both, according to Trump. That's going to hurt them significantly. You know, the direct contract that they have is only 1.5% of their revenue. But the rest of this stuff is going to really have a knock-on effect. Hegseth demanded that Anthropic equip the Pentagon and AI models free from usage policy constraints that may limit lawful military applications. Well, if, you know, we look at how they're willing to disrupt all this stuff, I mean, it's going to be really difficult, as they said, to extract all this stuff. So they want to punish Anthropic because of that. But think about it. Why would they go through the process of extracting all this stuff if Hegseth didn't want to use it for mass domestic surveillance and for autonomous killing weapons? At the same time, he says, well, I'm not going to use it for anything unlawful. He is willing to go through all of this hassle, all of this problem, in order to have the ability to do these kind of unlawful, unethical things. You do see how the guy is lying out of both sides of his mouth, right? So the CEO of Anthropic published a public letter Thursday night explaining his constitutional, ethical, and technical concerns about unleashing AI that is capable of surveilling American citizens at home and executing people abroad according to its own judgment instead of a human being's. So again, what does this tell you about the Pentagon and about Pete? The Pentagon is guilty of a glaring contradiction, says Reason. This is a guy who is at the R Street Institute, Mark Dalton. He says they are guilty of a glaring contradiction on the first side. They consider Anthropic's technology so vital to national defense that they thought that invoking the Defense Production Act was justified to retain access earlier this week, then suddenly designating the company as a supply chain risk. The ego politics of putting them as a supply chain risk is what would keep other companies from being able to do business with them. The president is permitting a six-month window during which the federal agencies, including the Pentagon, will continue to use Claude. That's how integrated it is already. That's how vital it is already. And so when you think about all of that trouble, why would they go to all that trouble if they didn't really want to use it for mass surveillance? Pete Hegseth is lying to you about this. Dean Ball, the senior fellow of the Foundation for American Innovation, said this designation as a supply chain risk is the most damaging policy move I have ever seen the U.S. government try to make. Because, again, this is Mafia Don. Respect me or die. Right?
The company's usage policy has explicitly prohibited the use of its AI models for domestic surveillance purposes and to produce, modify, design, market, or distribute weapons, explosives, dangerous materials, or other systems designed to create harm to or loss of life since June of 2024 when it began supporting American warfighters. These provisions are maintained in Anthropic's current usage policy. The company then received a $200 million Pentagon contract over a year later in July of 2025. So it was Pete Hegseth who gave them the $200 million contract. He knew what their policy was. Neither the president nor the Secretary of Defense were ignorant of these usage conditions. But now they have started paying attention because, A, they're not only evil, but they're incompetent. Neither Trump nor Hegseth have claimed that the CEO of Anthropic changed Anthropic's terms of service. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman claimed that the Department of Defense agrees with OpenAI's most important safety principles, prohibitions on domestic mass surveillance and human responsibility for the use of force. If that's the case, then why the fight? Right? Again, this is the same type of stuff we're hearing about Iran's nuclear program. Well, we obliterated it. It's all gone. There's not anything left. Well, now we have to bomb them again to get it, right, to stop their programs. The Trump administration doesn't even think twice when they lie to the American public. I mean, we have video footage from a gazillion different angles of ICE agents murdering Alex Pretty and the woman Good, Renee Good. And yet they come out with absurd lies. With the Renee Good thing, you had Kristi Noem come out and said, yeah, they were stuck in the snow, and then they got attacked by this woman and all the rest of the stuff. And it's like, no, everybody's seen the video. We know you're lying. Trump did that as well. And so they're doing that again with this. We all know why they are having this fight with Anthropic. The Anthropic blowout, the military involved the theoretical use of Claude for an incoming nuclear strike, is what they're saying. They said that hypothetical nuclear strike scenario, according to the Washington Post, a defense official told the Washington Post the Pentagon's technology chief posed an extremely hypothetical, would Anthropic let the military use Claude to help shoot down a nuclear-armed intercontinental ballistic missile? The CEO supposedly apparently irritated the Pentagon leaders and said, well, you could call us and we'd work it out. And so that's what the Washington Post is saying. However, the CEO said that is patently false. I'm inclined to believe him since I don't know him, but I know that everybody in the Trump administration is an absurd liar. And we've seen it happen over and over again. He said the company had agreed to allow Claude to be used for missile defense. The Trump administration figures both inside and outside the DOD have piled pressure on Anthropic that has an avowed focus on safety. The CEO has criticized the administration's attempt to curb AI regulation, which included, listen to this, see, he's been a critic. So he has, the CEO of Anthropic has been a critic of what the Trump administration has done, saying you're not going to have any restrictions on AI, state or local, for 10 years, right? And I said the reason they're doing that is because they've got some real nefarious uses for AI involved. And, of course, the CEO of Anthropic has said that, and he's been critical of the Trump administration. I think that is what this is really about. He says included a proposed ban on state-level regulation. This is, I think, the essence of what is happening. And it is something that really should concern us. And it's something we don't have time to talk about more today, but we will revisit this. I'm afraid that the Pentagon and War Pete and Trump will revisit this as well. Have a good day. Thank you for joining us.
Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children.
They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.